Welcome back. You're in the huddle. What a 1 point to the game. Moving along on a beautiful Thursday out there, guys. Right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, college hockey writer for USCHO. It's Jimmy Connolly. How you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing well, guys. Everybody's staying safe up there in our land of quarantine.
Yeah, we're good up here. I think we've had one new case today, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Our very own little bubble up here.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Jimmy, right off the bat, we found out yesterday Mike Babcock going to be joining the staff at UVM as a volunteer assistant. When you hear that, what's your reaction, and how much of a difference does like a volunteer assistant make with that kind of stature?
Well, it's interesting. I've known some coaches who've made a career of being a volunteer assistant. Ed Walsh, longtime goalie coach. He was at UMass Lowell, then Northeastern, then Dartmouth. He's back at Northeastern. I think he's always been a volunteer coach, but he's done great things, and because of that, he's built a great name for himself. His hockey school's one of the best-known goaltending schools around. So some people use it for that. I think in the case of Mike Babcock, and I don't know this for sure. I've not talked to Todd Woodcroft about this. I've not talked with anybody inside the UVM program, but a name like Mike Babcock is probably there maybe to be kind of a sounding board, a consultant. I could be wrong. I don't expect you would have him buying a house in Burlington, Vermont anytime soon. The guy might fly in a couple of times a year. I saw this. I'm going to go back. It's probably about 8 or 9 years when Norm Bazin first got to UMass Lowell. He brought on Dwayne Rollerson, who was an NHL goaltender, had just retired, hadn't gotten into scouting and coaching and stuff like that. And he was, somebody that came in and was named a volunteer assistant. He had been a teammate of Bazin when they played at Lowell. They graduated in 94. And in that situation, I think that Rollerson came to campus a couple of times. He would talk to the goaltenders a lot because that was obviously his area of expertise. And he basically, was a good sounding board for Norm Bazin as he was really, getting his career off the ground as a Division I head coach. So I wouldn't be surprised. This is obviously a friend of Todd Woodcroft, somebody he's had a long relationship with, if that's what Mike Babcock becomes for the program. Somebody who he can give a call to, make sure that he's doing some things right, get some advice. Every now and again, you might bring him in, let him talk to the team. But I don't think this is a guy that's going to be on campus day after day.
Right. I mean, that was kind of the assumption up here, too. But is Babcock a guy with that stature that can be a deal sealer for the 17-year-old hotshot scoring sensation?
That's a good question. I'm not sure that, if Mike Babcock was the head coach, maybe. But as a volunteer assistant, maybe you can say, he's on our staff. Listen, he's got an unbelievable resume besides just the NHL. You think of international things that he's done, World Cup of Hockey championship, a gold medal at the Olympics, numerous. I think he had a World Junior Championship. He's done a lot of great things in his coaching career. But I think, I think the one thing that he might be able to just bring is a culture of winning, and that's something that's going to have to be absorbed through coaches and through players. So maybe if it's something that after a couple of years you can demonstrate that he had a little bit of a fingerprint on the program, if they have some success, then yes, I think it could be something that turns the head of a recruit. Right off the bat, though, I don't think that that's something that's going to really move a needle.
Jim Connolly, college hockey writer, USCHO, with us here on the huddle, 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com. What are you hearing about people's impressions of how Todd Woodcroft is doing in his first 4 months or so at the helm of UVM?
Well, people, he was brought in because he has an excellent track record, in the professional game. And I think he was somebody that was, maybe not looked at as the number one guy. When people started to throw around names for that program, there were a lot that came up, and his never really did until literally the day before he was hired. I think was the first time I had heard the name, and I had to start doing research on who he was and what he had done. It does seem like he's brought in a couple of good recruits. I think one of the big things, and I haven't heard too much in terms of defections, is you don't want to lose recruits that you had coming into the program, and I don't think I've heard much about that. That was one thing. A lot of people didn't appreciate Kevin Sneddon in his later years with the program, but he brought some very good recruits into that program. not all of them panned out. And, you know, you look at guys like Zengis Girgensons, who just never ended up on campus because he went so high in the NHL draft. But, you know, Kevin Seddon had the ability to recruit, and now you don't want to lose any of those players. You want to supplement it. So from what I hear, that's what he's been able to do successfully since he's got to campus. It's an interesting time, of course. You're recruiting into an environment where people don't know, will there be hockey in the fall? Will there not be hockey in the fall? So I think it's a challenge for every coach. But from what I hear, Todd Woodcroft's doing a good job with that.
Well, Hockey East plans to play a full league season. They're trying to expand the league season anymore to get more games in. Kind of explain to us the thought process behind this.
Yeah, well, I think of all of the six college hockey conferences, Hockey East might be in the most unique position because of its geography. You know, it always has, except when Notre Dame came in for 4 years, it's always been basically a New England league. And when you look at the trends around coronavirus and where it has gone, where it's going, where their hotspots are, as we're approaching the fall and the thought that students could get back to campuses, New England is easily in the best position. We were just talking off air. You don't have a lot of cases up there. I mean, that's good. That's all good news for Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and that's your footprint. No other league has such a footprint, you know, and the fact that you can continuously play teams within your league without having to hop on an airplane, you can play most teams. This is not obviously an exception for Vermont and Maine, but you can play most teams in your league without even having to have a hotel night stay. It really does put Hockey East in a unique position. So I think they're trying to capitalize on that. They got out ahead of it. Went with an announcement on Wednesday that they do plan to play. They have what I think Steve Metcalf, the new commissioner, has described as a very flexible schedule, and that's a big part of it. That they, you know the season's supposed to be 24 games. They'd like to maybe expand it to 30 because it could be very difficult to get non-conference partners at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also in a position that if they have to pull back on a number of games, and maybe it becomes a 20-game season. They just want to be able to have a season to provide for the student-athletes, give them the chance to play. You know, we know that sports can be played in this environment. There are risks. There's always going to be risks. And there might be students that decide, just like we're seeing in the NFL, we've seen a little bit in the NBA, players want to opt out. And that opportunity, that decision will probably have to be made by each and every player. But I've learned that hockey players like to play. And you saw with the NHL when they decided to return to play, nobody actually, I don't believe there's any players that opted out. And it was mostly players just saying, listen, we just want to get back on the ice. We want to finish this season. You know, we like to play hockey. I think that's what you're seeing. There will be some controversy because there's going to be fall athletes saying, hey, why couldn't we do this? But the fact that Hockey East is not part of an all-sport conference, they're not, they don't have to make decisions that affect every student athlete on campus. They get to kind of govern in their own little bubble. They've been able to convince the 11 men and the 10 women's programs that they can get this done.
You know, Jimmy, I wanted to ask you about opting out, and I agree with you. Hockey players want to play, but I'm not talking about opting out so they don't play. If the coronavirus gets any worse, I'm afraid that we may have to cancel games and that some of the players, like the Wisconsin goalie, who said, I'm opting out, I'm going to play in Finland, I think it was Finland. I'm wondering how many players will do something like that says, you know what, I can't deal with this right now in the United States, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. And you mentioned Wisconsin. They had that situation last week. And
yes, yes.
I kind of understand why a player would do that.
Absolutely.
The reality
yeah.
is those opportunities are not going to be, they're going to be few and far between. So okay. I wouldn't expect to see a parade of players doing that because it is difficult to get over there. You usually have to have some sort of a background that you are a citizen. I just don't see that happening much more than at most a handful of times. Does that still affect a team? Sure. Of course, a coach doesn't want to lose a top tier player, you know, who doesn't want to play in the United States because we haven't managed the coronavirus well.
Right.
They want to go back to their home country or something like that. We'll see. I think it'll be interesting to see how eligibility is handled. If you decide not to play this season, do you still have, do you lose any eligibility? Is it still going to be 5 years to play for? You get a sixth year to play your 4 years. There's so much. It's such a fluid situation. I think talking to the folks at Hockey East over the last couple of days, that might have been the most used word was fluid.
Yeah.
But there is an intention right now, and I think that was what they were trying to convey with their press release yesterday, that they intend to play, but the situation is really fluid.
College hockey writer Jimmy Connolly. Jimmy, thanks for stopping on by. I can't wait to see what goes on and how the season plays out. We certainly appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys. Stay safe up there.